Everybody expects that if you grow up in a Christian home, you're likely just going to turn out, you know, pretty good, that life's going to be somewhat smooth sailing because you've got the foundation under you, and especially as a PK, but that's just not the case, and it certainly wasn't for you.
Just because when you're the PK kid, you've either got to keep up appearances or everybody feels like it's their job to tattletale on you because you're the preacher's kid, and so it created an environment of secretiveness. Like, I wasn't allowed to be imperfect. I was struggling with stuff. I found myself pregnant at 16, married at 17. I let this boy convince me that he was the only person in the world who understood me, which is a lie. He abandoned me within 2 years. I lost custody of my son. I should have lost custody of my daughter. We were homeless twice. Like, I was on the side of the street, just trying to keep people from taking our stuff.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hey there, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
And we are so excited to be here with you today.
We are.
We were talking earlier before we started the podcast about, you know, how you can just kind of be going through life and everything's hunky-dory, and then bam, you get blindsided.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And your life changes within an instant. And we've heard so many stories, not just within Your Biggest Breakthrough, of different podcast episodes, but just in people we talk with.
Yeah, just recently, in fact. It's really, it's like
changes.
You're on cruise control. We know some people who are there, and then all of a sudden, wham, out of the blue, this unpredictable thing hits them, devastates them, messes up their life big, big time, and somehow they find a way to go on. And it makes us, I think, a little nervous at times, thinking, well, you know, are we really prepared? Should something hit us unexpectedly? And
I would
and
say
how would you get through it?
Answer is probably usually no, not really prepared because, well, first of all, what would hit you? Like, it's a blind side. You don't know what it is.
Right.
But I don't know that you could ever be prepared.
Well, probably not. But how do you react to it? I guess that's the question.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out today.
Yes.
From our guest. Michelle Ross is our guest today. She's president and general manager of KSWP Radio in Lufkin, Texas. It's a station her father started over 30 years ago. And I just got to pause and say, back in my fundraising radio days,
shout out.
Oh yeah, you've been there. That's a great station. We loved working with them. Really a tremendous ministry. Well, over Michelle's 29-year history, she's worked every conceivable job within radio to keep the thing running. And has just done an awesome job.
Yeah. And in addition, she is also pastoring. Can you believe this? The church is called The River, a church for whosoever.
I love that.
Isn't that wild? I love the name of the church where her husband, Al, was the senior pastor. And Michelle's a wife, mom, grandma, and now 24-hour caregiver following her husband Al's massive stroke just over a year ago. And you're going to hear about that.
Yeah, so that was the unpredictable that hit them hard. But in her words, here's what she says. She says, I'm a prodigal child who God graciously redeemed. I feel like I've had so many breakthroughs, like a return to Christ, healing in my marriage after abuse and bad decisions, receiving God's gift of a wonderful husband, a breakthrough in my body from disabling pain and crippling food allergies, and the grace to continue on in my current journey when I have no idea how or if my husband will recover. And that's why every day for me is a walk of faith and trust.
Wow. And yes, that is why we have her joining us today. You're going to be encouraged big time in your faith and challenged as you listen to Michelle's story and how she depends upon the Lord. Well, welcome, Michelle Ross, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are excited to have you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know what I love about Michelle? She's got a smile on her face. If you could see this on YouTube version, you'd see that. Smile on her face.
All the time.
When you hear what she's gone through and is going through, you'll say, wow, how does she smile through all of that? And there are lots of challenges that all of us face. But Michelle, you've got a very unique story, and we want to begin to unpack that. So I want to just start out by just asking you straight up, because you're the one who said this. You said that every day is a walk of faith and trust. Why do you say that? Why is it a walk of faith and trust for you?
Well, currently, at the moment, my husband of almost 17 years had a stroke in October of 2022. And so on October 18th, he was full-time pastor of our church and working 40 hours a week. And we were living our best lives. And at 4:30 a.m. on October 19th, his body broke. And I found him in the bedroom floor of our bedroom and called 911. And, you know, we did the clot-busting drug, which was really scary. And the ER doctor's like, I believe if you don't do it, he's going to die or be severely disabled. But the stroke took out the cognitive center of his brain. So his memory, his current memory is 5 seconds. He remembers people and his kids. And like if it's pre-stroke, he remembers you. But anything from the stroke forward has been wiped out. So he doesn't know he's home. He doesn't know he had a stroke. He doesn't know he doesn't go to work. He requires 24/7 care. Like he can't, you know, feed himself, clean himself, groom himself. He can't get out of bed. I have to use a lift and a sling and get him in his wheelchair. And it really is Toddlerville, USA, which is a little bit hard because he's 6'4" and always been a strong, you know, guy, and you just don't know what every day looks like. And so it's just a walk of faith. You know, you think if you do everything right that nothing bad will happen, but it's just not the way it works. And so
you just have to
trust God.
But expand on that a little bit, because when you think everything's, you know, going okay and you're doing everything right, and then the unexpected happens. Did it test your faith? Did it challenge you to begin to ask questions?
Yes and no. I think I've had those thoughts of, I've seen God so much at work from day one. Like I've seen how God intervened. It would take 2 or 3 podcasts to tell you about just nurses that came in at the right time, or the weird circumstances about how we ended up in the certain rehab, or just, they're not coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. And so sometimes I'm like, I've seen a lot of growth in my life. I've seen a lot of growth in our church members and in our body. Sometimes I'm like, God, is he suffering so that we could grow? Like you think that, and then you think, you know, sometimes this is really worst case scenario for him, because I knew how he wanted to end his life or how he didn't. So you kind of ask God, like, how can you be working and be so good when things aren't so good? That's been a little bit hard for me to wrap my head around, about how the goodness of God can be so prevalent when I feel like things are so sad or not good.
I think that is a beautiful point, Michelle, because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And joy doesn't mean happy, right? But it's that deep knowing, that joy, right? And you carry his joy and you shine so bright for him. And in the midst of, you know, pruning, if you will, of these tough seasons, he's helping everyone in this experience and season, you know, flourish, including you and so, and your church. And so let's talk a little bit about your faith personally, and just your faith walk and how this, I mean, we've talked about how, you know, the Lord is flourishing you even more, but let's talk about where that all started, your faith walk.
Well, you know, I grew up a PK kid. I don't remember my life before Christ.
A rebellious one, or?
In other words, my parents went to Bible school, and, you know, my grandparents used to joke, we wanted your mom and dad to get saved, but not that saved. but at some point, you know, your faith has to become your faith, not your parents' faith.
Right.
And so when I turned like 16 or 17, I got into some trouble, and then got involved in some abusive marriages. and I wasn't going to church. I felt like as soon as I got out from underneath my parents, I was like, you know, I know the Bible, I know Jesus, I'm going to heaven. You know, yeah, why do I really need to go to church? Like, I was happy to not, you know, be living on church grounds like a lot of PK kids do. And then my life just continued to fall apart, and it just fell apart and fell apart and fell apart until it was broken and then smashed and stepped on a few times.
And let's talk about the depth of that fall apart. Yeah.
The depth of that fall apart. You want to know the depth of the fall apart.
I want to know the juicy stuff. Come on, Michelle.
Because everybody expects that if you grow up in a Christian home, you're likely just going to turn out, you know, pretty good. That life's going to be somewhat smooth sailing because you've got the foundation under you. And especially as a PK, but that's just not the case. And it certainly wasn't for you. So you got off track. And I mean, really off track.
I was a compliant child. So my parents thought that they could trust me. I highly encourage parents not to trust their compliant teenagers because they're still teenagers. And so they gave me just a little bit too much leeway, and I got myself into trouble. And I felt really isolated. I didn't feel like I had anybody that I could talk to, just because when you're the PK kid, you've either got to keep up appearances or everybody feels like it's their job to tattletale on you because you're the preacher's kid. And so it created an environment of secretiveness. Like, I wasn't allowed to be imperfect. And so I was struggling with stuff, but I was afraid that my parents would just like cut off what little friendships I had. And you know, the devil just lies to you. He just lies to you about things and convinces you your parents don't understand. So I found myself pregnant and married. I was pregnant at 16, married at 17. My parents really didn't want me to get married, but I was like, that's all I wanted to be at the time was a mom. I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have 4 or 5 kids. And anyway, I had let this boy convince me that he was the only person in the world who understood me, which is a lie. And, anyway, so he abandoned me within 2 years. Turns out he didn't want to have more. It was not a good thing. Probably God's blessing, but at the time it didn't feel like a blessing. So he abandoned me when my son was 2. And then, like most people who go through a divorce, you just instantly rebound into a worse situation because you're wounded. If you're divorced and you don't think you're wounded, you're just not, you'll see 5 or 10 years down the road that you really were wounded. So I didn't grow up around,
I was going to say, so you're really kind of cautioning people that are divorced or, you know, have gone through divorce. Don't go rushing into something. Yeah. Give yourself and give God a time to be able to heal you from the inside out before you end up in that next relationship.
Because you're hurt and you just knee jerk into whatever, you're really hurt. And I've seen it. I've counseled with people. They don't listen most of the time, but as a person who's been through it, you can see it and you know they're walking in hurt. So I rebounded. So
you rebounded.
I rebounded into a worse situation. And I didn't really grow up around people who lied. Like, I grew up in a home and my parents really sheltered me. And so I wasn't exposed to a lot of stuff. So then whenever I thought I was all grown up, I didn't know how to handle anything as far as the world went. Like, I didn't really know how to handle it. So I got in a worse situation, and then I fell into the condemnation of, well, I didn't seek God about this relationship and I wasn't living for God when I got in this relationship. So I made my bed and I was going to lie in it. So it was not the viewpoint of my family or my friends, but that's what I told myself. And so I watched other women like pray their husbands through. And anyway, it did not work. So after 10 years, I made my escape in the middle of the night, literally risking my life.
And, so it was very much an abusive relationship.
Yeah, so I hid out, but in that relationship, I walked through drug abuse. Praise God, he was really selfish about the drugs. I know that sounds terrible, but I probably would have gone a further into addiction if he hadn't have been selfish in that area, but I walked through with some drug addiction and I lost custody of my son. I should have lost custody of my daughter, but the grace of God, for some reason, protected me. And we were homeless twice. Like, I was on the side of the street just trying to keep people from taking our stuff. And
how long were you homeless? Like, let's talk about that for just a second.
About 6 or 7 months, probably.
Wow.
I always put money in the red kettle because the Salvation Army family shelter really saved our bacon. But stayed in crack hotels, saw a whole different life than I had never seen before. So,
and did your parents know that you were living on the street, or did you keep that a secret too? And you just,
I did, but just to show my age a little bit, there weren't really cell phones. And so, you know, and to call home was like long distance. So you didn't call. And so they probably didn't know the worst of it. They knew that I was with somebody that was not good for me. And they knew that we were probably in danger, but they loved me and prayed for me through all of it. They just showed me some crazy unconditional love.
Did you maintain what you thought was a relationship with God while you were in that place? You're homeless,
I guess, if you want to call it that. Like, you know, I just thought I had already checked the boxes. You know what I mean? Like, Ashley is in my heart. I got baptized. Like, you know, it's not about going to church.
Saved, always saved. Yes.
When and how did it come back together for you so that the reality of who God is and your relationship with him, when did that really connect for you and how did that happen?
Well, shortly before my 30th birthday, I was kind of at my rope's end, and I ended up going to a church that did an Experiencing God Bible study. Good old Blackbee Experiencing God. So I wanted to do that, and I wanted to somehow get connected again, because life was just, it was not good. And so I was doing that Bible study, and I believe it's like day one or part of week one where you're seeing God at work all around you. And one day I was just in my room, and the scripture of the day was from Matthew about, you know, why are you worried about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat? And it just felt like the words just 3D came off the page, and I was hearing them in stereo surround sound. I was like,
and you weren't at the radio station.
Whoa. I'm like, what is happening? I was like, that God's actually talking to me. And I just felt his presence in the room at that time. And once you experience God in a way like that, then you're kind of like, okay, what I've been living is like fake. It's not legit. Like, I want some more of this. And so I just, from that day on, I've just been changed. So I asked my dad, I was like, pursuing. Dad, what is the thing? Like, why is it so different? You said, well, sweetheart, the only way I know how to really say it is you asked Jesus into your heart when you were a child, but you made Jesus Lord of your life as you got older. So I put him in charge versus me, and then it just became my relationship. So
I wonder if that isn't the case even for some who are listening or some who have loved ones that are listening, and they know that their loved one has asked Jesus into their heart, but there doesn't seem to be real evidence of Jesus actively living through them.
Right.
So what do they do, Michelle? How do you get to that point? I mean, everybody's not going to find that same experience that you did, walk into that church and find the right Bible study. So what would you tell them?
Well, I would say, I would pray that they would have that encounter. So I just met a listener yesterday who was in the military, living a life of alcoholism and drunk. And he had gotten a Bible at his high school graduation. For some reason, he put it in his gear when he left for the military. And he's drunk and sad. And he opens the Bible and God speaks to him. And
the power of
his say that's how I pray. I always pray, Lord, let this person encounter you. Like, in a real tangible way. And that's just our prayer, and then I just pray God reaches them somewhere, some way, and He will eventually.
He will.
I am evidence that if you keep praying,
hey, we all three are.
God will answer.
He is so faithful. Well, let's, I know, you know, I had you send in a few notes before this podcast, and on the notes, you mentioned that you actually went through 5 years of extreme health issues. And so let's talk about that and how the Lord met you there in the midst of these health issues and what you were dealing with.
Well, that was really hard. So I developed really bad, some bad back pain. My dad had like 8 or 9 brain surgeries over the course of a year, and I was in Houston and taking care of them, and I just went to go step out of the bathtub. You know how you just do something one day and then you just feel like something breaks. And when we came home, I went to the chiropractor. We're big chiropractor health people, and he just couldn't get it under control. Really bad sciatic nerve pain. And so I was, you know, hanging upside down, rolling around on balls,
foam rollers,
and stress pads, and the stretching exercises. And it was bad. And I couldn't sit too long, lay down too long, stand too long. And I just was circling around doctor, 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 super, super sleepy. I took Alan for a sleep study, and I was looking over his shoulder at the survey, and I was like, what if you could answer yes to all these questions? And the doctor said, well, you probably need a sleep study, because I was having some really chronic fatigue. I was sleeping, you know, I could easily sleep 18 hours out of the day and still be tired.
Wow.
And so I thought it was allergies, and then I lived in an older house and it was mold. Like, I just ran this like in a hamster wheel for a long time, and medical doctors just couldn't really offer me any help. They offered to do surgery, and we tried all these braces, and I was walking around with a walker. I actually took a walker to CMB one year.
Did you really?
Just because I couldn't walk around. I had to have aids in the bathroom to get up and down. Al had to help me get dressed. It's just excruciating pain. And I couldn't figure it out. And so the doctor said I had hypersomnia. Like, it's basically you're excessively sleepy, and they don't know what causes it. And so their remedy was to put me on speed, which literally Adderall. Like, really, you're like, well, you can't stay awake.
It's highly addictive.
It's highly addictive, and it made me a million times sicker. And so I started doing some research, and I have a homeopathic doctor friend, and I'm like, I really think I'm having some issues with food and with my adrenals. And doctors won't address thyroid or adrenals at all. That's a whole nother soapbox. But I went and did some allergy testing for food, and because the blood work, you know, they would send me for blood work. But I was taking Zyrtec every day, Flonase every day. I mean, I was one sick girl. And
your gut was a mess.
Oh, it was tragic. And so anyway, I went, and basically it said I was allergic to all meat and almost all vegetables and fruit. And so I really just had to go on a really restrictive diet. And for a girl who loves bread, oh my goodness, I can go without dessert or whatever. But anyway, so I went super vegan, and even I would say, like, I couldn't even eat some things that vegans eat. It was easier to tell you what I could eat than what I couldn't.
Right.
And so I just had to
you had to get your gut healed.
I had to get my gut healed, but I had to heal my mind as well. Like, the Lord made me aware of a lot of things that I was watching and reading and participate in and speaking, and I had eliminated like all joy from
all your
my
nutrients
life.
Oh
well, yes, all my nutrients, they didn't help either, but I found myself just in this sick cycle. When you don't feel good, you're just reclusive, and part of that reclusiveness was to escape. And then you're escaping to Netflix or whatever's on your screen. And if it's bad, you know, if you're watching people argue and backstab each other for, you know, 10 hours a day, you're not feeding your spirit the right things. So you're just going to work and then consuming trash.
Yeah, and your body responds at the cellular level. So
it does. Yeah. And so I cleaned up my diet. And then I started doing things. I was like, well, Michelle, what is it that you used to do that used to bring you joy? Like, so that was reading and gardening. And so I picked both of those up and just decided a little bit every day. And you know what? Once I cleaned up my diet and my thought life and started filling my bucket with stuff that feeds my spirit. And connecting to God in different ways. You know what? No surgery, no back pain, only chiropractors on maintenance and the allergies. People who knew me back
then
just would say, I felt like a chemo patient that wasn't on chemo. But it really was a total body, mind. Transformation.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same. It's like a body, mind, spirit connection, all three of those components. And the spirit part of us tends to really shrink down when the body and the mind aren't functioning.
It's all connected.
Right? We get preoccupied and sort of overwhelmed, and we take those avenues of escape or self-help kinds of medications, if you will, whether that's, going to screens or alcohol or whatever it might be. But I love the fact that you are stubborn enough that even as a recluse pulling back, trying to sort of self-medicate yourself, you weren't satisfied. It's like God kept pushing you until you found the answer. And I think that's a work for all of us.
Your heart wasn't being filled. It couldn't be.
Yeah. But also we've got to be stubbornly assertive in making sure that we're trying to figure out a solution. And with God's help, and a strength and a stamina, you can get through to the other side.
Yeah, that one turning point, I think, to clean up my mind, like my mental mess, was at Sheraton. A volunteer asked me to speak for a ladies' event. And I was like, how am I going to speak at a ladies' event? Like, I don't have time. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the Lord just began to give me a word. And then I was like, you know what? I'll cut out 30 minutes of Netflix every night. And that's how I started. I cut out 30 minutes at a time. And then once you start detoxing off of all that stuff, then you're like, oh, I need an hour. And then let's do Bible study before we go to work. And let's incorporate worship. And then it just, you know,
it's amazing how you realize. Yeah. You realize how much time you've wasted or whatever, and how it's just that hole that only God can fill. We've tried to fill with other things.
Well, Wendy and I were talking last night just about your life and your story. And first of all, we're amazed that you do what you do.
Seriously.
I mean, you're a radio executive. You've been in it for years. You're
Wonder Woman.
You're managing the radio station, which is a ton of work. And you kind of came up through the ranks. You got every aspect of radio under the belt, so you know what you're doing. But on top of all that, you're pastoring a small congregation right now. You're giving 24-hour care to your husband. You've got a lot of people sort of pulling it. We don't know how you do it.
No.
How in the world
do you
sleep?
Yes. You need your rest.
Yeah. Promise you, I sleep because people get hangry. I have trouble sleeping, but I do. I have an army of people that have just wrapped their arm around me and helped me. So my staff does their best to help me. My church family helps me. So it's been a year and a half now. And somebody still helps me mow my yard. My neighbor across the street mowed my yard every week last summer. So I didn't have to worry about it. Somebody from the church still brings me dinner 3 nights a week at home. And then my grandson has started helping a little extra time on the weekends. But I do make it a point to do things for me. I schedule in some me time so that I can take a long shower or get coffee. That's kind of my thing right now. Like, I'll take a drive and get coffee every day. I still try to listen to my audiobooks.
You need to be restored so you've got the energy to care for Al, right?
Yeah.
Which is a really good word again for anybody going through a really tough situation where it feels like things are really overwhelming.
Don't neglect yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You have to take time out to make certain there's that component of healing and restoration available to you. And that takes a community. And I always feel for people who just, like they just, they're not plugged into a community, whether it's a church group or a family group,
or
kind of loners.
Yeah. Or they're just, you know, I've got it myself. I don't need to have help. It's that pride kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the Lord intervened in that for me because of the abuse that I dealt with before, I revert to, I can do it, you know, but I guess about 8 days after Al's stroke, we moved to an in-house rehab center, and it's a new place, and I didn't want anybody to know that I was intimidated or scared, and I was kind of like, you know, and I'm just going to walk right in there and act like I know what I'm doing, and it's all good, and I walked in the door, and inside, I am petrified, and the lady behind the counter says, "Good morning, Michelle." She said, "We're so glad to have you and Al with us." Mm. And so I went to my room and the social worker came in and said, "Good morning, Michelle. I want you to know it's an honor." And she listened to the radio station. And then the nutritionist listened to the radio station. Mm. And then the nurse caught me in the hallway, huge crocodile tears in her eyes. And she said, "I just want you to know that I am so honored." Mm. And it is just so wonderful that I have the privilege to serve you and serve your husband.
That's so beautiful.
And she just, in that moment, I saw that so many people wanted to help. They wanted to do something. And for them, it was an honor. And so I'm still not as good as I probably should be. But if people ask me to help, I say yes. And so let people do that for me because they want to help. They want to be a part of it. Yeah. And so if you're not accepting help, you should be, because people really want to do that.
Because it's a blessing for them too.
Yeah, you don't want to deprive others of what God wants to do through them. So it's almost like the ministry of receiving. That's part of it as well. I just want to talk about Al for just a moment here. Because I had a chance to meet you guys years ago when I was back in the radio fundraising biz. Al and Michelle were friends, and also we were able to kind of work together and help.
Y'all had fun. Come on. I know the real truth. Y'all had fun together.
I got to say, Al, I mean, just, and Michelle's right. He's just a big strapping man's man. But he's got this smile that just knocks you down. He's just friendly Texan, good old boy who will just give you whatever you need. I mean, just generous, loving, respectful. I could go on and on just talking about your husband, Al. And you guys had a great marriage. And that's why it pains all of us who know you to see and hear what you're going through because of the love that the two of you have for each other. And now you're in this place where you can't express yourselves to each other like you used to. And I cannot imagine what that must be like, except for you depending upon God's grace. And I just want you to know you two are both an example in modeling what faith is all about, what trust is all about.
And you say that God doesn't waste our pains. You wrote that in your notes. God does not waste our pains. He never leaves us. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because you've had a lot of pain in your life, but yet here you are still smiling, still going. You do have the joy of the Lord as your strength. But let's talk about how those pains are not wasted. And how even this experience with Al, how you are finding the joy, and maybe how you're seeing that there's intimacy in a new way, not just with Al, but maybe even with the Lord.
Yeah, for sure with the Lord. We just learned to laugh a lot. Like, if you've dealt with a person that has like Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever, you have to laugh. It's really funny. And you just have to find the joy and stuff. It cracks me up, because if you walk into our house and you leave and you say bye, I promise you, the last words Al will say to you is, "If you need anything, you just call me." Like, he's coming. Like, I'm going to be there. And
so good.
And so I don't, My mom always said when I was growing up, honey, I just don't know what people would do without the Lord. And I never really understood her saying that until now. And the truth is, you don't. And it's Him, 100%. And He just will speak to you in the craziest things. You know, it may be hard, but, you know, maybe YouTube music's going or the radio's going. And, like, this song comes on that's just, like, perfect, you know. For exactly what you need, He has a way to whisper those things. Yeah. He is in the details, and He's just right on time. And if you look, part of that's back to that experiencing God Bible study, but if you look, you will see God at work. If you're determined to see Him at work in your life, you will see it even in the hospital, even in the, you know, for Him to put us in a rehab that I didn't choose. I wanted to do another rehab, but to put us in a rehab then where I was surrounded by people who listened to the station every day, like, God did that for me. Like, not only was Al cared for, but He did it for me. Yeah. And it just showed me He's paying attention. And yeah. He's not paying attention.
Yeah, and I think what you say is just profoundly true for us too. God is always paying attention, are we? And one of the things that your life seems to speak of, Michelle, is that even in your brokenness and all those hard times in the early days and hard times you're going through now, and in spite of your pain, you're willing to look for the power of God and for the glory of God to come shining through. And I think that's just a tremendous lesson. Like, keep your eyes open, be alert, invite God into your brokenness and into your pain, and watch His power at work.
And I mean, that's why He came.
Right, Michelle.
That's why He came.
See, people are watching you and Al. You know what I mean? They are seeing the Jesus in you, both. And their faith is being lifted up. I mean, ours, we're just reading your bio and all that you've gone through. We're like, oh my goodness. You know, we're encouraged, right? And so, you know, that's how God works. He uses people's lives and their tough stuff, their pain, to help strengthen other people's faith. But you do speak to a lot of women. You help a lot of women in the church and at the radio station and just probably at the grocery store, to be quite honest, because that's how you are. You're just a friendly face and a friendly smile.
I might help
smile.
You find something, yeah.
yeah. Well, I think even just a friendly smile in that conversation in the grocery store line would be you. And so what would you say to somebody if they, too, are dealing with something really tough and they're feeling alone and they don't know who to go to? I mean, they may have a relationship with the Lord, but maybe it's not where it needs to be, but they're struggling. What would you do? What would you say to them so that they could keep their hope alive and know that their pains are not wasted?
Well, first thing I would say is, I mean, obviously you want to talk to the Lord about it. But if you're feeling super alone, there's got to be a person that you know that you want to talk to that maybe you're intimidated to talk to, or like seek help or tell a friend. There's been times that I've been really stressed out. And I go and talk to a friend about it. Either one, it sounds ridiculous when it comes out of your mouth. You know, like, what? I was really worried about that. Or they can say, you know, I've been through the same thing, or I've done that. But I just believe that if you're stuck, you got to do things to get unstuck. And if you're stuck in discouragement or you're stuck in not feeling good, like, take baby steps. Never underestimate the power of a baby step. My step started with, you know, well, if I can't eat these foods, what can I eat? Let's figure out what I can eat and let's do that. Let's find the happy spot there. And then, you know, maybe I can't read a whole book, but I've got 30 minutes. And so I was up to 40 books a year. I started with 30 minutes a day. But you've got to fill you have to fill your bucket with whatever it is that gives you joy. And then just remember, you don't have to have it perfect. Start with a baby step. By all means, find a church. Find a church and go. It's important because you need a community to help you. We can't do it ourselves.
That is right. Just good, solid, practical advice. You know,
but sometimes we just all need to be reminded of it, right?
And that's right on, though. That's right. We tend to get too pie in the sky. You know, this is down to earth. This is what you do. You got to do something. Those are really good tips. Thank you, Michelle. Yeah. So I want you to give that big old guy a bear hug from me. Tell him I miss him and I love him. And, you know, he may not remember me, but you know how much I respect and love him. So give him a bear
hug. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you so much, Michelle. Thanks for being a shining bright light and for seriously, you are. And for just doing the tough stuff and allowing God to hold your hands as you do it, you know, and get you through. So
thank you. Thank you. If it helps anybody else, it'll be worth it. 100%.
That's right. Well, it will. So thank you for being an inspiration. Thanks for being on your biggest breakthrough. God bless you, friend.
Thank you. God bless you too. Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We really do love the fact that you take time to listen. I hope you're really encouraged, especially by stories like Michelle. That was absolutely awesome.
Seriously. She's been through much, so many breakthroughs.
And if you want to hear about more breakthroughs, I'm going to invite you to head over to our website, yourbiggestbreakthrough.com. Right now, we're offering you an opportunity to receive a free ebook with 6 incredibly powerful stories of God's intervention. The book's called Unstoppable. And there's also an audio compilation. It's about an hour and a half long. And it's a compilation of those 6 stories. I promise you, you put that on and you will be inspired and motivated in ways that you just can't imagine.
That's right. You just put your little earbuds in and head out for a walk and listen to that show. And I promise you will be encouraged. So anyway, thanks again for tuning into this episode. Make sure you share it with others. And we will catch you next time right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.